always got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Business like show, business there's no, big business like this. What do you think?
You might want to take that back to the drawing board. Get back to me.
Totally the song I think about when we think of big business.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
But I thought it'd be funny.
It's one of those rare situations where you've seen a Disney quote-unquote movie that I've not seen.
Completely without knowing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, after watching this film, I don't think it qualifies as a Disney movie.
Well, it's a Touchstone movie.
Yeah, but it's so not
right
a Disney film.
Thank you, Michael Eisner.
Thank you.
That's right.
I think so.
He was trying to come up with cheap movies that made lots of money that was not necessarily on brand with Disney.
Sure.
That
would go under Touchstone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this movie is.
There you go. End of episode, folks.
For those of you those of you that haven't caught on, we're talking about Big Business, which you can now see on Disney Plus.
Which was the real shocker of all of this.
Yeah.
All the movies that they're putting on Disney Plus, you're like, yeah, I totally want like a whole Miramax / Touchstone part on there where you just put all of those comedies on there. I guess you put Fox into the same.
And I said to Steve the other night, we should watch a Disney movie. We could watch the next animated film we're supposed to watch. We could watch the next Star Wars movie that we're supposed to watch.
We could,
We could watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because I insist that you have to watch it at some point. Mm-hmm, and you said, how about Big Business instead? And, you know, because I'm a pushover, I said, okay, right. Big Business it is.
Yeah, duty calls.
And it was dutiful.
Now, I saw this as a kid. And I loved this movie. I thought it was the funnest thing ever.
I don't know what a child would think was fun about this film.
I was probably 11, somewhere between, about 11 years old. Loved it. Thought it was great.
You're so weird. You're such a weird kid. And I didn't even know you at that age.
Right?
This is not the kind of movie that I would have thought was fun as a kid, personally. But apparently you did.
Listen, the fact that Bette Midler gets to run like this huge conglomeration that's going to take over a small town, you know, that has me written all over it.
Okay.
She was a redhead.
Well, tell me if you would have thought this was more interesting, though.
Okay.
So the movie came out in 1988.
Right.
Same year, by the way, as Who Framed Roger Rabbit, just throwing it out there. And it was originally
written, by the way, I saw this years after it came out.
Oh, sure.
Just so you know.
You saw it in theaters, opening day. It was originally written as loosely based on A Comedy of Errors by William Shakespeare.
Oh, really?
So you're classy and you didn't even know it.
And I had no idea. I don't think Bette Midler knew it either.
Well, because it wasn't written for Bette Midler.
Oh, really?
It was written for Barbra Streisand.
Oh, no way.
And Goldie Hawn to play the two characters.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
There's no way Barbra Streisand would have done this movie.
Barbara would have been just as good as Bette Midler, in my opinion, though. Because Barbara has kind of a history. She has a kind of a reputation as being a bit difficult to work with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So she could have handled Bette Midler's role specifically.
The difference, though, is Barbra Streisand takes her roles incredibly serious, and she thinks that they're like the finest of art, you know, and she is, and that's why those roles are always done that way. You never leave a Barbra Streisand movie just, you know, laughing and going, that was fun, wasn't it? It's always, right? Am I wrong?
I mean, she was good in Funny Girl. Did you see Funny Girl?
Oh, you're right. She was
good. Hello, Gorgeous.
Oh, that was fun.
But
in her
spoiler
later
alert,
years,
neither Barbra Streisand nor Goldie Hawn appear in this film.
They all said no.
They said no. And instead, we have Lily Tomlin and Bette Midler starring in Big Business. And just to set the stage for you, for those of you that haven't seen it, which I assume is most people because I hadn't seen
it. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Nobody's seen it but me.
There is a wealthy family driving through a very small town, Jupiter Hollow, I believe it's
called.
That's
it.
And his wife goes into labor. She says something crazy, though, like she's 40 months pregnant.
40 years. I've been pregnant for 40 years.
Or something like that. It didn't quite make sense, but...
You're right. It was probably 40 months.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she goes into labor, and they happen upon a farm and say, my wife's in labor. Where can I go? The closest public hospital is too far away.
Mm-hmm.
But the private hospital downtown is much closer, but they only allow residents because it's owned by the same guy that owns a furniture company in town or something.
Sounds about right.
I'm not quite sure how that works out, but there you go.
Mm.
And then they do this horrible thing before they get there with a urine sample.
Just to show that she mixes things up easily.
Ugh, it's terrible. Like, they're, first of all, they're drinking apple juice or apple cider out of beakers, which is why would you, that's so unsanitary.
Because Michael Eisner
And then a guy comes out with his urine sample and it's in the exact same thing.
Like, he approved every scene
and she puts it on a tray and I'm just, oh, terrible. Anyway, so these wealthy people obviously can't go into this hospital because they don't live there. So he runs across the street, buys the furniture store, comes running back in and says, you're delivering the baby. Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These high strung, very fancy pants, uninterested type of people. Meanwhile, the very calm and easygoing people that they ran into before also go into labor and they go in to have their baby as well. And as it turns out, they both have twin girls. And the nurse accidentally switches two of the kids.
Right.
So basically what you have is two Bette Midlers and two Lily Tomlins. And the Lily Tomlin characters are the children of the more easygoing podunky kind of people. And the Bette Midlers are the high-end fancy folk kids.
Seems to make sense.
But they don't know that because they switched them. So there's one of each in each pair.
Yeah, and as luck would have it, he overhears the name of the children being named out in the hallway and names his kids the exact same names as well.
Ugh.
So then you have this, which, by the way, I just continue to say, hilarious. If you're watching a ridiculous movie.
Laugh riot.
If you're watching a ridiculous movie, you might as well just watch Big Business.
Well, and this is the thing that I have to say to myself a lot. I want to yell at the TV, why? Why would this be this way? Why? And then you have to say, because movie.
Right.
That's the only reason that these sort of things happen.
Just to be crazy and
so what are their it's Rose and Sadie?
Yeah.
Is that their names?
Oh, and don't forget about Sadie and Rose.
And Sadie and Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely different.
I do love how the one Rose and the other Rose and the others, like their personalities, you know, because like Bette Midler as the CEO, she's like this very uptight Miranda Priestly kind of a person.
Yeah.
That's incredibly, like, we joke that she was the original Miranda Priestly, apparently.
Because literally when she's coming up the elevator, they're like, she's coming, and everyone's throwing things away and running around. Yeah, and we're
that's
like,
where the scene came from.
Yeah.
Back in 1988.
Wow.
Here we thought was original.
Bette Midler did
but
it.
But then the other Rose that's been living down on the farm is incredibly sweet and super, super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So to see the opposite sides of two personalities, I thought it was kind of interesting to think about where just, you know, your what you take on in this world is somewhat a product of, you know, your upbringing and how you can be kind of a different person of the same side. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Like, there was the Rose that was raised in the city by cutthroat business kind of parents.
It's cutthroat and ruthless.
The one that was raised in the sticks still has ambition and wants to be bigger and more important.
Yeah.
But she's not willing to do bad things to get there.
Right.
So it is a little bit of nature versus nurture type of conversation going on. But I honestly think both Lily Tomlins acted exactly the same.
No, one was Dingy.
A what bit does that of a even mess. Mean?
Yeah, I remember like the one, and then the other one was a bit more ruthless. Like the do you know what I'm saying?
She was a little more driven.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. It's very confusing to talk about because, like we said, the characters are all the same names,
mm-hmm.
which just plays into the quote unquote comedy of errors that happens when they all converge into the same hotel.
Right.
By complete happenstance, they end up all in the same hotel.
Well, they go to fight each other, not knowing that each other are the ones they're fighting.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. But their lives get crossed so many times in a way that would never actually happen.
Right.
That you're just like, what? No. Because movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because movie.
That is definitely true. There is a whole lot of movie in there. And I like that. Yeah. I like a little bit of movie in my movie.
Well, that's the whole point, right? You got to get some movie in there. It's a movie.
Especially in the 80s. Because this is what 80s movies were all about. It was all about situational comedy and just, you know, I don't know.
And crazy happenstance kind of nonsense stuff going on.
Yeah.
So they all end up in the same hotel and... like I said, their lives keep on crossing in weird ways. So the Roses are both romantically interested in people that don't like.
Okay. Yeah.
Business Rose.
Uh-huh.
Business Rose has an ex-husband who wants her to be more involved in her kid's life.
Uh-huh.
And she's not super interested. And then out in the Boondocks,
right?
Rose, who's her person that comes to see? I get myself
it's a person.
Confused now.
It's some person that ends up with it because four guys end up randomly in the way of Mamma Mia, and they all end up differently too. Now,
oh, this is what it is. Business Rose has two. That's the problem.
Oh,
Business Rose has her ex-husband, and then she's also trying to woo this Italian guy into
buying
things.
Now that was a twist
things.
I forgot about.
Yeah. But then the good Rose ends up with her ex, and she ends up with the Italian guy.
Right.
And then the Lilies, the Lily Tomlin characters. Ugh.
Both the Sadies.
So confusing. The one from the country has a suitor that wants to be with her and comes all the way to New York to chase her down. He even leaves his very important putt-putt competition.
Miniature golf competition. That was happening
because movie.
On the last stroke.
Because movie.
Right. Although.
He comes up to...
Because you know they shot that at Disney... No, they didn't go all the way to Disney World to shoot that scene.
No.
But they were just promoting it.
Well, they actually shot in the Plaza Hotel in New York, which I thought was interesting.
Right. Hey. Wasn't Kevin McAllister there?
Different hotel. But still. Is it a different hotel?
No, I think it's the Plaza. Kevin ends up the Plaza Hotel.
Okay. Wow, it's been a minute since I've seen that too. All right. So anyway, it's basically a bunch of missed coincidental type of run-ins, you know,
right?
Mistaken identities.
Now, how about this for a sequel? Could have been Family Business, because now Good Rose ends up with Bad Rose's ex-husband and her kid. Right. Now that family, but they look identical.
By the way, was he played by the robot chicken guy?
It felt like, yeah, right?
Yeah.
What's his name? Something Green?
Yeah.
We can all remember Green. Listen to us. Quick, stop, Google.
How old are we?
Totally was that guy.
Keep talking.
That's fun. But no, so it ends up that like Good Rose ends up with the ex-husband and the child. So now this child now has a stepmother that looks identical to his actual mother. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like this totally feels like a whole separate story that it totally could have been. But no, it didn't end up going that way, which I thought would have been a super fun movie. But
Seth Green.
That was totally the name.
It was Seth Green.
And was it actually Seth Green? Oh, good for Google.
So Seth Green plays her kid.
By the way, this is a new segment on the podcast. Hey, Google.
Yeah. Don't say that. She's going to hear you.
Totally.
It drives me crazy when like anyone on TV says it.
And then they report.
Oh, see, now he's talking.
We totally could have just asked Google what it was.
Killing me.
Yeah, completely true. But if you were any of the four characters in this show,
mm-hmm.
which of the four do you think you would be?
like me as my personality is now, or which one would I prefer to right. be?
Okay. And which one of both?
I mean, I would obviously probably be one of the Lily Tomlins because I'm not a big city person.
Yeah.
I would probably be the one that was raised in the city and wants to get out of it at best. Because the one out in the sticks, yeah, she's very aggressive still, which is very true. Much not my personality.
Yeah.
Because, like, literally, she does weird things. Like, she steals, like, a maid uniform to go around and leave her propaganda in random rooms. She was
very driven.
I just don't get what that was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's just weird.
And she gets to eat anything she wants and still stay skinny. That's lovely.
That's very me, for sure. and the one in the city, she's definitely a little scatterbrained. Her shoulder pads are always sliding down her arms. Which I don't think kids today would even know what that is.
They would
is.
Have no idea what
They'd
would
be
that.
Like, why does she have a pillow in her sleeve?
I didn't even think about that. There's parts of that movie you would totally not even get anymore.
Well, like the car phone.
Oh, I love that. You, the limos.
You got so excited when the car phone rang. I was like, really?
I totally.
Over the car phone.
I totally remember telling my mom when I was a kid. I was like, you know why there's a phone in the back of the car, right? And she said, why? And I said, so you can call the front of the car? And she thought I was joking because the cars were so long. So she totally thought it was a joke. And I was like, no, I saw that in a movie. It could have very well been this movie.
It could have been. Yeah, for sure.
Totally could have been this. I probably am both of the roses.
Oh, no. Really?
Right.
You're just a bushel of roses?
Just bushels of roses. Yeah, that's totally.
Is that a redhead joke?
I'm hoping that I'm the nice rose, but who knows?
I mean,
depends on if I've had my coffee or not.
Bad Rose. She's just really driven, the business Rose.
They had to lock her up in a janitor's closet just to keep her from ruining
Jupiter Hollow.
There we go.
Yeah, they were planning on strip mining Jupiter Hollow, apparently.
To make Tesla batteries?
Yeah.
No?
That's the real villain of big business is Tesla.
Didn't even know it.
I guess what I was most entertained by this movie is their technical ability.
Yeah.
Disney had been doing this split screen, act with yourself type of thing for a long time.
Yeah, it felt very Freaky Friday that way, right?
They did Parent Trap.
Same way?
With Haley Mills and things
that
back
was like
in the day.
60s, right?
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a new concept.
Yeah.
But I have to say, for the 80s, the effects in this movie weren't terrible.
Right.
I mean, to the trained eye now, you can see where they've put the characters in beside themselves.
Mm.
You know, we're such a jaded...
I do not have this trained eye that you speak of.
Well, never mind then. A lot of us are very jaded by special effects, and, you know, it takes a lot to impress us these days because we all know how they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume back in the day that these effects were really impressive.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have all four women interacting with each other at the same time in the same scene... must have been a logistical nightmare.
Completely.
To get all of those things to match up.
Oh, I bet that's right.
Because yeah. I can't remember what I said 20 minutes ago to respond to it now.
And they're responding.
If I had to do
way.
A podcast with myself one line at a time,
right.
It would be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
And it didn't feel like it was scripted. It felt very improv-y. Like
right.
They were just kind of talking.
I really believe there was all four women.
Well... good. I'm glad they have fooled you. That's not what happened.
That's not how they do it.
But they do, I have to say, the best part of the movie is the reveal when they finally run into each other.
Uh-huh.
And they do the ridiculous mirror thing.
Uh-huh.
Where they're walking through, Bette Midler is walking through the bathroom and there's a wall of mirrors. And she looks at herself in the mirror and then she walks past an open space while the other Bette Midler walks past also.
Yeah.
And they do the full-on, like, try to make funny faces to make sure that it's a mirror, or try to do, like, funny movements so they're not doing the same thing, you know? And it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the height of slapstick ridiculous comedy.
See how much I love it.
And that part is okay.
Plus, the other thing I love about these movies is they were like, an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's very watchable.
Uh-huh.
It's not a commitment as much.
Because that went on for 2 hours, we'd be like, all right.
Come on now. We're in the same hotel in rooms next door to each other. What are the odds?
How much longer are you going to drag this out? Where are you going to go with this story? But overall, the show ended up making $40 million. I don't know how much it cost to record.
20.
There you go.
So it doubled its budget.
Well, see, that's how Eisner likes it.
Yeah, it was profitable enough. They didn't make a sequel, though.
Which is another thing I loved about these throwaway comedies of the 80s, right?
They're a one-off. You're not threatened with more if they're successful.
Right. Like, they're just successful enough. People go once. They're done with the story. Unless you're me and I say that there should be family business.
I have to say, though, that there is an implication that they could do a sequel to it. There's also a very creepy implication that everybody in this world is a twin.
Oh, yeah, the doppelganger effect.
Because there's a homeless man outside of the Plaza Hotel who keeps warning people that there's two of everybody. And if you stand outside the Plaza Hotel long enough, you'll see yourself walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in any other kind of movie, would be a scary movie plot. You know? Like, you stand outside this hotel long enough, you'll see yourself walk out. That mm-hmm. would be a freaky, scary movie to watch. But then at the end of the movie, a wealthy version of the homeless man comes walking out and stands right next to him. And they do like a fourth wall break and everything. And you're like, okay, is everybody in this world a twin? Because right. that's really freaky.
And I just love that Disney does these movies, I guess, where they use some of their other technologies. You know, that's what I liked about the Nutty Professor. The
Absent-Minded Professor.
Thank you. Yeah, that one. The Absent-Minded Professors. Mm-hmm. They just played with technology and the things they had to create the movie, the storyline.
Right.
You're like, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun enough.
It's kind of the old school way of making movies where they're like, well, we can do this. Let's write something around this random thing we can do.
Plus, if Bette Midler's trying to take over the world, I'm in.
Okay.
There you go.
She puts a spell on you.
That's true.
But just as forewarning, it's really not a kid's movie. I don't think there's anything overtly bad that your kids would pick up, but it's definitely not a kid's movie.
No. If your kids are under 12, just stay away from Touchstone.
Yeah. Pretty Woman is not for your 12-year-old.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that one.
I 100% doubt they're putting that up on Disney Plus. There's no way.
We can still watch it.
Oh, well, maybe one day. But it's like I always say, if I have a wealthy doppelganger running a business in downtown Atlanta, have him call me because I need a loan.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.